God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts to the reality of redemption only in Jesus, the Son of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The readings, today's readings from the Word of God, are powerful realities tied together, even though they are nearly 1,500 years apart. And both show the rebellion in our hearts, and the only redemption is in the manner that the living God established. Let's begin with Israel in the desert, as the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 21. Now, keep in mind, the hand of God delivered them from slavery and bondage in Egypt, worked wonders in parting the Red Sea so they could walk on dry ground, with the Egyptian army then swallowed up by the waters. There's wonders of water from the rock, wonders of daily heavenly bread and quail. Their clothes were not wearing out, and their feet were not swelling. They were protected from the many dangerous animals in the wilderness. And it was not enough. Such visible signs of God's power and visible presence of God in that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, guiding Israel step by step by step. And it still was not enough. Time and time again, Israel complained and rebelled. Their hearts had not changed. They spoke against God and spoke against Moses, as it says, Numbers 21, verse 5. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." They constantly complained that God had brought them out of Egypt and into the desert to die. Their hearts just have not taken hold of the truth that God has chosen them as His own special people, calling them to obedience in loving the Lord their God with all their heart, all their mind, and all their strength, and worship the Lord their God alone. How did they feel about that special daily provision of heavenly food? That heavenly bread, they loathed it. They abhorred a daily gift from God. Really grasp what is taking place. God gives daily provision, and the people say, "We don't want it, and by the way, we hate it." And it's worse than that. They say, "We loathe what you are doing." Their needs are being met moment by moment, not too much, not too little, just enough. And in that just enough, they could not see the faithfulness and compassion of God for them. Their hearts needed chastising. The protection was lifted, and the Lord sent poisonous snakes into the camp, and many were bitten, and many died. The people were able to put two and two together. Their attitude of heart towards the daily gift of God and the poisonous snakes biting and the toil being taken in deaths had an effect. The people said, "We sinned." When we spoke against the Lord and against Moses, the servant of the Lord, we sinned. They asked Moses to pray for the snakes to be taken away. And I want you to pay attention to how the Lord answered Moses. It was not to take away the snakes. The Lord did not send the snakes away. Instead, the Lord said, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. If anyone is bitten, they can look to the snake lifted up on the pole and live." and live. The snakes were not taken away. Instead, a way of healing, and the only way of healing, the only way to live, was to look up to see the one lifted up. Now, medically explain how looking up to a bronze snake on a pole would heal a person. Medically speaking, it will not heal. It would not remove the toxins. This event in Numbers 21 is the origin of the most popular medical symbol in the world, of a single serpent on a staff. Secularists point to Greek mythology, but this event recorded in Numbers 21 predates the Greeks and their mythology by over 1,000 years. The severity of the serpent's death took its toll on the people, and it had its effect of bringing them to a sense, I've sinned, we've sinned. And the remedy, the only remedy, was to look to the bronze serpent up on the pole, an action of having to take the Lord at His word. They did not know that the Lord was giving a sign of the Messiah to come in the snake lifted up. The healing from the serpent's bite would come through one lifted up. Just as the healing from the serpent leading Adam into sin would come through one lifted up. Look to the one lifted up and be healed. Look to the one lifted up and be healed. Now nearly 1,500 years later, as Jesus speaks with Nicodemus, Jesus recalls the event as a sign of healing through His own broken body. There is no getting around this. The event in Numbers chapter 21 really did happen, for Jesus is speaking of it in such a way that it happened as He speaks to Nicodemus. And it's the same manner Jesus speaks of the sign of Jonah at another time as actually happening in history. When Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, Jesus would be 3 days in the belly of the earth. Just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Trust the Word of God as real history. In this event, in Numbers chapter 21, we are given a word picture of crucifixion. Let that sink in. We're given a word picture of crucifixion 1,000+ years before crucifixion even became a method of capital punishment. Do you see the power of God? You see the reality of the Word of God is true. A word picture is given in Numbers 21 as a sign of the Messiah's work. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. That word translated as must in the Greek is spelled D-E-I, but it's pronounced day. It's spelled D-E-I, but it's pronounced day. And its meaning is, it is necessary. It is required. There's no way of getting around this. Jesus must be lifted up. It is necessary Jesus be lifted up. It is required Jesus be lifted up. There's no getting around it. The mystery established in the divine counsel of God that salvation would only come by the sacrifice of the Son on the cross as shown by the Old Testament commands of God. It's shown in the Passover. It's shown in the sacrifice of worship established by God. It's shown here in Numbers 21. Jesus must be lifted up. He must be crucified. That must is the same must found in verse 7 of John chapter 3, when Jesus tells Nicodemus he must be born again. There is no getting around this. One must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's great love for us. God's great love for all people is what sent the Son. And the Son was sent on a mission. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That word sent, you'll recognize it in the Greek when I say it. That word sent is apostello. Apostello. Do you recognize the words we get from that? Apostle. It's actually spelled almost the exact same way. Apostello, it means sent with a mission. An apostle is one sent by God with a specific mission. Apostello means sent. The apostles are one sent with a mission. So Jesus was sent with a specific mission, and that was to save, to keep safe, and rescue from danger or destruction, to save a suffering person from perishing, to make well and heal. That's what that Greek word save means. Jesus was sent to save, to rescue from danger or destruction, to save from perishing. Now, a fair question to ask is, what do we need it to be saved from? And we answer quickly, sin. But that really does not communicate the full reality of the situation. Sin. Now, it doesn't quite catch. The next verse from the Gospel of John speaks clearly to the reality. John chapter 3, verse 18. Whoever believes him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Did you hear that phrase? Stands condemned already. Do you understand the spiritual and eternal reality of stands condemned already? It is a troubling verse. And it's a verse and a truth we like to skip over. If you do not believe in the Son of God, you stand condemned already. The reality is sin so separated us from God, we are in a state of condemned already. See if I can make this a little more helpful for you. Over here, condemned. Over here, not condemned. We think we start here when we're born in that category of not condemned. That is not true. We all start here, condemned already because of the Adam sin in us from the very beginning. Condemned. And the only way to get from this stands condemned already to that place of not condemned is believe in the Son. You believe in the Son, you're not condemned. You want nothing to do with the Son. This is where you already are. And this is the place of eternal death.
And the only way to leave the place of eternal death is to believe in the Son. Not condemned. The place of eternal life. We like to picture everybody's going to heaven and then they do something stupid. Sin. So God says, over there, you're now condemned. It's not that way. Sin has so impacted all that there is. Everybody starts here. Stands condemned already. The guilt of sin is already here. And the wages of sin is death, so that death is already we are. So it's a matter of God's compassion that He sent the Son to save. That brings us, I believe, you're not condemned. I believe in the Son of God. You're not condemned. You have life. Do you understand the great chasm between and the reality? You stand condemned. And the only way to leave that reality is to believe in the Son of God. Are you getting the picture now? You see the compassion and grace of God. The wrath of God is upon all of us, and the sentence of death is upon all of us, because in Adam all have sinned. And that judgment that came upon Adam, that curse of sin from the very beginning, came upon Adam, has been upon us. We are sinners. We are guilty of sin. That is who we are. That is the way we were conceived. That is the way we were born. The evidence is seen in the way we lie, cheat, steal, scheme, murder, bear false witness, have other gods than the true God. And the list of evidences is exceedingly great. It is not one is born and through some bad behavior God then decides you're guilty. That's not your starting place. You are not destined for heaven until you sin. No. Your starting place is separated from God and destined for eternal death. The reality of sin is upon us all, destined for eternal death. Come to grasp the great, dangerous destiny that was there. Notice I said was there for us all. See how great the penalty of sin truly is. Be terrified. Tremble for your soul. For when you understand what your predicament was under the guilt of sin. And notice I said what your predicament was under the guilt of sin. You come to know the love of God, the compassion of God, and the greatness of all of it, and the grace of God for our souls. That's why it's written in Scripture, while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. The difference between stands already condemned and not condemned is simply believe in God's one and only Son. Put your trust, your faith in the Son that was sent to save. Now, you've seen videos where people are in a situation they just cannot save themselves. They need a rescuer. Out in California, there's those cement culverts that fill with raging waters at a moment's notice when the rains are way far away even. And their person is being swept away. And you see the images of the rescuers reaching out trying to get that person. There's no way that person can swim to safety. Or you've seen the car caught in the raging waters and a person clinging to the roof of the car and the rescuers coming. Or a person up in that tree as the waters go raging below and the tree is starting to go, with its roots being torn out. None of those people can swim to safety. They need a rescuer. Same way,
There's nothing we can do, works-wise, to get us from the stand condemned already to not condemned. Jesus did the work on the cross. And when you put your faith in Him, believe Him, that work He did on the cross has its effect in you and takes you from death and puts you in life. It is Jesus who has done the work. It is Jesus. Like those raging waters, one cannot swim to safety. We cannot work our way from eternal death into eternal life. We must be rescued. And the only great one, the only one great enough to do the rescuing is the living God. So there's two options. Believe and have life in the Son, or eternal death is already yours because you reject the Son. There are not options of choosing a religion that you like or feels good. That option is not open, though the world says all religions are the same. There really is only two options. Believe and have life in the Son, or eternal death because you reject the Son. And that is precisely why Peter declares before the Sanhedrin and for all the world to hear, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And again, that word must is that D-E-I, that day in the Greek, must be saved. Peter knows this truth from firsthand experience, witnessing Jesus is the Son of God. And from that perspective, Peter proclaims, salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That must in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, is the same must as in Jesus must be lifted up, as the same must in his you must be born again. The only way to be saved is in Jesus, the only Son of God. Believe in the Son. John emphasizes this, believe in the Son. John chapter 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. And so I bring you again to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It's a verse I encourage you to memorize because it's the great exchange. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All the penalties and guilt of sin was placed on Jesus on the cross. And all the righteousness of Jesus as the Son of the living God was then placed on us who believe. A gift, a free gift from the living God. Memorize that. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Jesus, the guilt has been removed for those who believe. And with that guilt removed, so is the penalty. There is no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Do you see how good and powerful the news of this gospel really is? There is no shame. There is no condemnation. You are forgiven. And you have life. It does not say, God so loved the world that he overlooked
the sins of the world. No. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The powerful truth, Jesus was sent to save. How will you respond? Will you truly believe you're forgiven? Because that's what it means. You are forgiven by grace. And you receive it by faith. This free, great gift. Do you understand God's great compassion for your soul? Do you know the great love of God for your soul, for you? Your sin, there's nothing you can do that keeps you from God. There is no sin that will keep you from the Lord. Nothing. Believe. And there is no condemnation. Believe, and you have life. Do you see how powerful this truth is? Do you know the compassion of God for your soul? Come. The Son beckons you to come and believe and have life in Him. Amen and amen.